matter of getting in tune with the developments of human rights around the whole world. I mean, when I was young in Australia, the law also criminalised gay people, but eventually scientific evidence showed that people don't choose their sexual orientation and they can't change it, and therefore to criminalise it is like punishing them for their skin colour or their race or some other irrelevant consideration. And that's why around the world the legislatures have been getting rid of these old relics of the past, and unfortunately the Pacific countries have been rather dragging the chain, and I'm not absolutely sure what can be done about it.
We do have a situation where there are some political leaders, I don't think there's any doubt about this, who have some very, very entrenched views on this particular topic. There are also cultural issues that young gay people would have to deal with. Some might argue in countries where at least they don't prosecute, although the law remains in force, maybe it's better to let sleeping dogs lie.
I don't think that can be said, because to the extent that you have criminal laws against people, you are going to stigmatise them and make them feel bad about themselves. That leads to depression, but it also leads to, in the event of people having medical problems, not going to see the doctor, not discovering, for example, that they have HIV or hepatitis C, and therefore not getting treatment, which makes them a risk to themselves and to others. So the international community has really learned over the past 20 or 30 years that if we are serious about combating these international diseases and also about respecting the universal human rights that are laid down in UN treaties, we can't just let sleeping dogs lie, because the sleeping dogs are causing a lot of trouble and also disadvantages, including economic disadvantages, to the countries concerned. This was something that was realised quite early by Fiji, and the president and other leaders in Fiji have turned up at international AIDS meetings and made the point that they endorse the lessons which the UN has been expounding, that if you let sleeping dogs lie, a lot of people are going to get infected. That is not only very bad for them and their families, but extremely expensive for the countries concerned.
I wonder, in the end, may it turn out to be a generational issue, and perhaps some of the senior political figures around the Pacific, who at the moment are very much opposed to taking in the law any further along the road towards equality for the gay community, people are just going to have to wait.
Well, you say that, but this is a matter of the fundamental dignity of the people concerned. You know, we had the same problem in Australia when we had the White Australia policy, and that was something which was absolutely fundamental to our country, and it persisted until 1966. And so it's not all that long ago that that was got rid of, with the prejudice that that involved against people just because their skin colour was darker, which was a ridiculous basis of having prejudice. Do you know how we got over that in Australia? I think we got over it because we began to know people who were of a different ethnicity, different race. And we got to know that some of them were extremely clever and very able and good citizens. Others of them were just as boring as the rest of us. But that, I think, is the antidote. Once you get to know gay people, it's much harder to hate them. And that's one of the reasons that my partner, Johan, and I made a decision a long while ago to be open about it in Australia, because if you can put a face to the minority, then it's much harder to hate them, because they're just human beings just like yourself.
Would you see it perhaps then as a case of overcoming the fear factor, if you like? I mean, you talked about the White Australia policy and the fact that as people got familiar with different ethnicities, perhaps that whole thing started to drift away. I mean, is the same thing applying here in the Pacific, that it's fear of something that they don't need to be afraid of?
Well, I think that is certainly the experience of the countries that have got rid of the laws against gays. This is why, I mean, the British left a lot of very good things, such as uncorrupt judges and elected legislatures. All of these were good things, and the rule of law. But unfortunately, this little provision in the criminal code, which was based upon old understandings of biblical texts, has done a tremendous amount of damage and hurt, harm. It causes depression, it causes suicide of young people, makes their lives intolerable, and really it's all pointless and it's unscientific, and it will fade away, but we've got to give it a helping hand. And that, if I can say so, the colonialists who imposed these laws on the Pacific countries, most or all of which didn't have such laws before the colonialists arrived, have to assist the countries, give them technical assistance and explain what the science says and help them to get rid of them from their criminal statutes.
Now, you spoke at the launch for the Pacific Youth Forum at the Opera House in Sydney last night, and I presume had a chance to meet and talk to some of the LGBTI leaders who are attending. I mean, what sense do you get from them? Are they optimistic? Do they believe they can deal with these problems that they face?
I'm not sure that anyone knows exactly what's going to happen and at what pace. I mean, if you were being putting a rational spectacle on the situation in the Pacific, you would have to say, well, of course they will go, and it won't be too long about it. But exactly when depends upon leadership. It depends upon people giving leadership. And before I went to the Kaleidoscope function, I went to another function by a big corporation, because corporations now are supporting the entitlement of people to be open about their sexuality. And at that other meeting, a recent survey of Australians was revealed, and it showed that 45% of young Australians between 18 and 24 are not open about their sexual orientation or gender identity at work. And that means that even in so-called enlightened Australia, we've still got a way to go. And therefore, I think we can learn from other countries. In Australia, we're lagging behind in relationship recognition. We can learn from other countries, and similarly, the Pacific countries can also learn from Australia, New Zealand, and other countries that this is just an old hobgoblin fear from the past, and it has to be got rid of, and it's oppressive, and it's against international human rights.
As you point out, Australia has come a long way, and perhaps there are obvious lessons for the Pacific countries to learn and for the advocates to go back armed with information from Australia, but they're here at a time when the push for gay marriage has at the moment stalled for who knows how long, with the plebiscite falling over them. What do you think? Where do we go next?
Well, I think actually that the last week or so is shaping up to be a very important victory for gay people, because to impose an unnecessary, expensive and non-binding plebiscite on the advance of the recognition of relationships in Australia is to impose upon gay people a measure of hatred. And it's something that wasn't imposed when we got rid of the objection to land rights to Aboriginals in Australia. It wasn't imposed when we advanced women's rights. It wasn't imposed when we got rid of white Australia. Maybe if we'd had a plebiscite on white Australia, we probably would have been voted down. And that shows that you have to do your lawmaking in Parliament, where people debate and they hear arguments and they can act on a rational basis. So that actually the defeat, as it appears to be coming, of the plebiscite in the Senate in Australia is a good thing, because it means that it will now have to be decided in Parliament itself, which is where it ought to be decided. And I therefore think that what is happening in Australia is entirely appropriate, and we will get to this eventually, and I hope it isn't too long. I've been with my partner, Johan, for 47 years. All those marriages we went to, all the presents and the confetti, most of those marriages have broken down between straight people. We're still still going strong, and our relationship doesn't hurt anybody else, and it's good for us, it's good for your health, and it's good for your psyche, and people should just be respected, and diversity is part of the features of the human species.